Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Oh, it's so good to be here today. Eric, good to have you guys. I know it's been a growing time for you guys, and it's been good. I think I saw you Wednesday night. But it was so good. But it's good to have you back. It's good to have all you guys back. I'm going to continue as far as we can today, but on God's view of the church. Do we all realize that when God sees the church, He sees what the real church is, the true church? Sometimes when we view the church, we see other things. We think about other things, but we see other things. And we really need to realign our thinking when it comes to the church. It's not the building. It's not the lights. It isn't any of that. It's the people. Right. And I said, how did they do that? Church and steeple. Look inside. We always wiggle the fingers. Yeah. All right. Here's you. So God is blessing us beyond anything that we can do. He is blessing this house, blessing the families here. And we need to capture the perception that God has for church. What does it really look like? We've been talking about some of the things, and I'm going to go through some of them as a review, but Jesus is the builder of His church. Amen? So that's the first thing you need to know. Jesus is the builder of the church. Anything built other, a church that is built by somebody else other than Jesus, it's not Jesus' church. It may be a church, but it won't be His. And that's a sobering thought. It really is. So we all have to answer, is Jesus building this church? Amen? So Jesus is the builder of the church. And number two, He calls His church ecclesia, which means a gathering or an assembly of called out ones. You have been called out. You know, in school, if they call you out, you're in trouble, right? But God says, you're a called out one. I've called you, what? Out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. Called out ones. And that's what Jesus said about us. And that's how God feels about us. His church confesses who Jesus is. Can you confess who Jesus is? Do it right now. Who is He? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you get in an argument or you get in a debate with somebody or somebody wants to debate you, I don't do debates. I really don't. I state the truth, and after that, that's all I got to give you. I was counseling one time, and somebody said, you know, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And I gave him what we needed to do, and he looked at me and said, is there a plan B? Nope. It's just God's plan. That's what God wants you to do. So we are the ones who confesses. We need to confess that. If we run into somebody and they want to be argumentative, we say this. Jesus, He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if they got problems with that, you just have to leave that between them and the Holy Spirit. Just give them the truth. Not out of anger or not with an attitude. You know, our attitude means a lot when we speak. You can say great words but have a bad attitude, and it shows. Somebody asked me one time before, says, you know, well, we was going to a conference somewhere, and we arrived at the hotel, and somebody from the church was already there, and they said, Scooter! Talking to me. Scooter! I said, hey! And we hugged and all that kind of stuff. A church member came to me and he said, did he just call you Scooter? I said, oh, yeah. And I said, does he know he's talking to the pastor? I said, he's talking to Pastor Cooter. I said, why do you let him do that? And I said, he can call me whatever he wants to call me. He really can. I said, but this attitude behind it, you can say, here's Pastor. Get it? All of a sudden, I wish I hadn't said it that way. The attitude just stunk to high heaven, right? So our attitudes mean a lot. Confess who Jesus is. The next thing, his church is founded on the deity of Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the foundation. He is the foundation of what's going on here. He is not me, not the elders, not anybody. He is the foundation of this house. Amen? Amen. And because of that, the church, because it's founded on him, the church is indestructible. Say the word, indestructible. It can't be destroyed. Why? He's eternal, and our foundation is eternal. Oh, he's good, isn't he? His church is built on divine revelation. What does that mean? Some of the building aids that he builds by, it builds with, is revealing by the Holy Spirit, revealing things that we don't know, and giving us revelation, uncovering things. Has God ever uncovered something to you that you'd been reading the whole time, but all of a sudden you saw it and you saw it differently? That's revelation. That's an uncovering. And when you become one with that, you're changed forever. In that area, you're changed forever. And you won't ever lose it. So, built by revelation, God speaks. I've had people say, God don't speak today. I said, well, okay. Where do you pastor a church? And he told me where he pastored, and I said, did you do that on your own? Did you just decide to walk in one day and say, hey, I'm your pastor. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but I'm going to be your pastor. No. I said, well, how'd that happen? I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this. And I said, the whole thing is like, were you led by the Holy Spirit? Did he speak to you to come? He said, yeah. I said, well, God speaks today. I said, you're a living testimony that God speaks today. God speaks to his people. His church is empowered by divine authority. That's what we talked about, the keys. See, these things we need to understand. This is who we are. This is how he's making us. This is how he's made us. Divine authority. We steward. What are the keys important for? We are stewards of the kingdom of heaven to bring them on the earth. These keys do not say, I'm going to use this key for whatever I want to do. No, the keys are to bring to earth what's already done in heaven. And we bring it down. We bring that down with the keys that he's given us. Is there any sickness in heaven? I got one out of that. The rest of you are a little unsure. Are there any sicknesses in heaven? Okay, so what can you bring down? Healing. You can bring down healing. You have keys. You've been given keys to be able to do that. Well, what if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? Did you pray for them? Did you lay hands on them? Did you declare? Did you say, be healed in Jesus' name? Did you do that? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. That's your part. Rest of it's his. Rest of it's his, right? Do what he wants us to do, and we won't go wrong. We won't go wrong, can't go wrong, doing what he wants to do. His church is enabled by divine grace. Enabled by divine grace. Jesus said, I will build. The word build means to be inspired, energized, and emboldened in his strength. It's all his power. All of his, not mine, not yours, not your ability. It's your surrender to his ability. I've given you divine grace. I've enabled you with that. His church, the your worst chapter does not disqualify you from your calling. Your worst chapter in life does not disqualify you from your calling. Well, I've really messed up now. We may have messed up, but it didn't disqualify you from the calling. How do we know that? Well, over in Romans chapter 11, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Can't be taken back. Extremely important that we know that, because we can become so our perception can be so focused on the material things instead of the spiritual things. And he says, when I see you, I see Jesus. I see the blood. I see you're covered. When I see you, that's how I see you. Wow. In Matthew chapter 16, you can go back there, because all this stuff that I gave you was just in Matthew 16. That's what we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. But we want to look at Matthew 16, 23. Peter has already confessed and made the revelation, thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God, the eternal God. He's already said, and that all of this, all of what is wrapped up in that. Then just a few minutes later, Jesus tells them, boys, I'm going to go die. They're going to take my life. I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to raise in 3 days. Then Peter pulls him aside. You got this? Pulls him aside and says, let me help you out with this. I forbid it. God forbid it. You're not going to die. Jesus turns and looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. He just got through being told he's got the keys of the kingdom. Or that I will give. The keys of the kingdom are coming. And now he's saying, no, you're not going to die. But anyway, he looks at Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. He said, you are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. There's a principle in this thing that we really need to capture as the church. Do you understand that we can be stumbling blocks for others? Have you know the Bible talks about that? Don't let your freedom become a stumbling. In other words, you're free, but don't let your overwhelming freedom begin to offend or cause somebody else to stumble. They said, you are a stumbling block to me. He's talking to Satan. Looking at Peter, he's talking to Satan. So this thing about setting your mind, I don't want to lose that. Setting your mind. The word setting means to be in harmony with. You're in harmony. You're in harmony either with the things of man or you're in harmony with the things of God. One or the other. There's no middle ground. It means to be consistent or conformed to. Your mind needs to be conformed to the will of God, not to the will of man. Has anybody in here ever battled with your flesh? I'm waiting on everybody. Because if you don't kind of raise your hand, you're lying. If Paul had to die every day, so do I. So do you. You understand what I'm saying? Flesh is one thing, but the demonic realm is another thing. But he looks at it and says, okay, you need to be conformed. You need to have your mind in harmony with God, the things of God. He said, but your harmony is with the things of man. If the things that makes you happy are the things that pertain to man, then we're more in harmony with man things, human things, than we are with God. The things of God. When you think about the things of God, do you know church is a thing of God? You're doing one of God's things today. How do I know that? You're assembling together. And you're called out of the darkness into the light. And you're assembled together, unafraid. And if they were to decide one day to come at the doors with machine guns, we are still going to be what? Still going to be what? Come on. We are the church. We're indestructible. Right? It doesn't pertain to the events on the outside. It pertains to the things that are here. So we need to really look and see if we're in harmony. Are we blended with the things of God? But here's the thing about it. Jesus said, "You are a stumbling block to me." To him, you're a stumbling block. There's the baby and the mama, Obadiah. Amen. So you begin to see that this thing about the stumbling block, I learned something in studying this, that when I really thought about it and prayed about it and listened to the Holy Spirit, it's like this. It's like every time you start giving others the things of man and not the things of God, you and I become stumbling blocks to the destiny of other people. If all your answers are from the natural and not the spiritual, we are a stumbling block to their destiny. Can you get this? We hold in our words, in our posture, we hold the destiny of people to be either hindered or pushed forward or motivated forward. We have that capacity. The church has the capacity for that. So I want you to understand that whenever you go anywhere, the thing is, you can talk about earthly things. Talk about it. It doesn't mean you can't talk about it. Doesn't mean you can't think about it. But you can't be in harmony with it. Our harmony needs to be with the things of God. So the next time you run into somebody that has some type of spiritual questions, think about what you're about to tell them. Is it in harmony with their destiny that God says they have? You know one thing that God said about them? What did one thing you know God said about everybody? He what? He loves them. You can tell everybody. You know God loves you? Did you know that God loves you? You don't know what I'm, but do you know that God loves you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And keep going. So you give that to somebody, what did you do? You just used a key. You just used a key to unlock a door for them to be able to walk into their destiny. They can refuse to go. They can kick it closed. They can ignore it. That's left up to them. What's left up to us is, what is our presentation? Is it with God in mind about these people? Oh, I'm excited about it. I really am. So you begin to see that our mind needs to be consistent and in harmony. Have you ever heard anybody You ever heard Pastor Charlie play the guitar and it has a discord? A discord? In other words, one of the strings are not in tune. You never have done that? You hadn't listened. Have you ever done it? Have you ever played with one string? Oh, say it again.
Yes.
Say it out loud.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, we hadn't listened. You understand what I'm saying? But see, the discord, the thing is, it's not in harmony. It needs a tuning. It needs an adjustment. Sometimes we need the adjustments to be in harmony with what God wants us to do. All right, let's look at, from this, we understand that we need to be in harmony. We need to conform to the things of God and not the things of man. He said, that caused Jesus to stumble. That word stumble, he said, that was a hindrance for him to fulfill his destiny. No, you can't go. That's not going to go. That's not going to happen. No, I'm here now. Well, big deal. You understand what I'm saying? But see, if somebody feels really feels like God said, I really need to go do this. And if we're not hearing God about something in the Bible for them not to go do that, you need to be very, very careful. You may be telling them not to do what God wants them to go do. I had a couple to come to me one time, been years ago, said, they wanted to meet with me, so they came and met, and they came in, sat down, and said, well, we just want to let you know that God has told us to get married. And I said, okay, I guess that's the end of this session. What? I said, well, that's the end of this session. You've already said what God said to do. Well, we need to hear what you've got to say. Listen, if God's told you, what I got to say ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, well, here's the question. Which God are you talking about talking to you? That's the question. Is it Jehovah God? Or is it the God of this world? So that was a counseling session. It was, well, we believe, we think. You need to be sure. You really need to be sure. Well, why would you even ask that question? I said, listen, I said, because now this Bible says you're only married to one man, one woman. You're already married. Well, that's harsh. No, that's the truth. One was already married, but I'm going to get divorced. I said, but you're not divorced. So as of right now, the God of this world is not telling you to go get married, not Jehovah. Anyway, let's move on. The thing is, we have to be in harmony with God and his word, harmony with it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, 24, verse 24. Right after that, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Just a few words, but it is so packed full of meaning and application. So if you think you want to be his disciple, a follower of Jesus, a pupil, a student of Jesus, if anyone wishes, that word wish means to willfully purpose. Do you willfully purpose to do this? Well, yeah. Well, then that's you. That's you. If you want to be my disciple, if you willfully purpose to come after me, what does that mean? To come means to get ready to come. I'm here, and I want to be a disciple. Yeah, I want to be a disciple, Lord. I want to be a disciple. I desire that. And what did he say? Come after me. That word come means to depart from in order to go to. there's a departure. People say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus as I do this. To come to him means you depart from one thing. To pursue and to advance in another direction. It's almost like repentance. Repentance is changing your mind. You're going in the wrong direction and you change your mind about this direction. I can change my mind and continue to go on. Have I repented? No. I just thought I changed my mind. I really didn't change my mind. If I really changed my mind, I'd stop the direction that I was going. See, repentance has nothing to do with your tears. Your worry has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do with what you're thinking about. I'm going in this direction and it's wrong. It's not God. So repentance is to turn from this and to go toward him. That's how you come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus is not, I accept Jesus. I accept him in my heart. That's not coming to Jesus. We use that a lot. You won't find it in the Bible. I know it's going to get quiet, and it'll mess up our theology just a little bit, but sometimes it needs to be messed up. Because I do believe there's a lot of people who is in the church that has accepted Jesus without actually ever coming to him. If thou shalt what? Believe. Come on, what is it? Thou shalt believe in your heart that God has raised and confessed this agreement with God. You trust, number one. Then you confess, you align yourself, you agree with God of who he is and what has happened. He said, what's the promise? That what? You shall be saved. Did you see the word accept? It's not there. We make salvation so... Do I act like I need water? Yeah, well, I've got some right here. You hand me that. So I'm doing too much. Will y'all excuse me? Messing with you. I'm just messing with you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we need to really put it out there like it really is for people. Say, listen, it's not just not so. Well, I accepted Jesus when I was such and such. Okay. But did you believe? Did you trust him with everything? Do you fully trust him, and do you fully agree with him in your life? No, I haven't done that. Well, then you're not saved. The stoning will start outside the church. If you feel like throwing a few rocks, I'm okay. Not really. We have to accept the thing that the reality of Jesus is. See, believing is the first step. Believing. Trusting. The walk that we have afterwards is the evidence. The evidence is not saying, I accept. Okay. Is everybody okay? I'd rather tell you the truth any day than a made-up lie. You understand what I'm saying? But this is changeable for the church. Sometimes we just need to make an adjustment. You know, sometimes we have salvation without repentance. It's just a feel-good acceptance. And that's not salvation that God gives. So we have keys, people. We have keys to be able to actually give them the reality of God's truth and bring them through an open door that God says, this is how you're born again. And we need to use them. We need to use these keys. So he goes on, he says, the word follow must come after me means you come behind me, not ahead of him. Do you mean you don't get ahead of? Has anybody ever got ahead of God, got ahead of Jesus, got ahead of the Holy Spirit? All right, I got 7 or 8. The rest of you is going to come to reality a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, have you ever, somebody asked me, said, well, if you give people prophecies or you give people words, what if you miss it? You know, I said, well, what if we hit it? See, the thing is, do what it is that God says to do. We were taking a girl through deliverance one time, and me and Brenda, and Brenda's one of those seers that sees and tastes and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden in the session she said, I smell strawberries. And I'm thinking, and? She said, I just tell you what I smell. It's left up to you, whatever God tells you to do with it. And I asked the girl, I said, does strawberries mean anything to you? She said, no. I said, okay, we missed it. Somebody asked, have you ever missed God? I've missed God more than I've hit him. In my growth, I did things I thought was God, but God didn't have anything to do with it. Why? Because my mind was more in harmony with what I wanted to do than it was with what God wanted me to do. Finish the story. The next day, the girl came by. Said, I need to tell y'all something. I said, what is that? And Brenda wasn't here, but I was here. Said, I talked to my mama about the session and everything. She said, she told me, she said, I know what that is. That's what the mother said. I know what that is. You had a security blanket when you was a baby and it had strawberries all over it. And you would not let go of that blanket till it was fallen completely apart. Now, what we were dealing with was her insecurities of life when she smelled strawberries. Yeah. Let God work it out. Doesn't he know how? Let God work it out. Let's look at it. See, he must deny himself. He must lose sight of his own interest. He must give up his own rights to himself. And take up his cross. Take up means to shoulder the responsibility of. And to shoulder it head on. Now, let me tell you this thing about, take up his cross. The cross is to identify with Christ in rejection and capital punishment. What does that mean? We got to die daily. Every day. Paul said, I die every day to the flesh. So when you and I begin to look deeper into this thing, we see, wait a minute, this is part of God's design for me. See, the cross does not mean that you have problems or you have difficulties. I have chronic headaches. I don't, but somebody may say, I have chronic headaches and say, that's just my cross to bear. No. No. It's not what Jesus is talking about. The cross Jesus is talking about is the one that says, God, what is your will? I'll do your will. And when it gets tough because you're doing God's will, that's your cross that he says you got to bear. following God, and there's consequences for following God. That is your cross. Being persecuted for doing what God wants you to do, that is your cross. That is my cross. Not, well, I stuck my toe today, and I guess that's a cross I have to bear. Mm-mm. Align with the truth. Align with what he says. Then he goes on, and I'm going to finish. Then he goes on and says, follow me. Follow means to be in union. You're in union with him. You conform to his whole example. Following means placing the will of God above your own feelings and desires. That's to follow him. So his church demonstrates we are not our own. We belong to him. And our actions are to dictate what he says. That's the church. We need to think ourselves that way, see ourselves that way, and then act ourselves that way. Amen? Amen. Did you enjoy that? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we read your word sometimes and we're just like taken back in awe that you would reveal to us the things that would make us look more like Jesus. You love us that much. We're grateful for you. If there's anyone here today that does not have Christ in your life, and you want to believe with all of your heart and confess with him of what he's done and who he is, and you want to do that today, it's not about accepting Jesus, it's about believing and trusting first, and then it's confession and coming in alignment with what God says to do. If you're willing to do that, lift your hand. Anybody? Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. We've got one that has lifted their hand. Could I get a lady to pray for her? Or somebody? That'd be good. Y'all just pray for her. Help her through that process. Anybody else? You be praying for her. Pray for this lady. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let them continue. I want to show you something. I've got two things to announce to you that I'm extremely excited about. And it has to do with tapping this thing here with your phone. Can we have the first slide? When you do that, you're going to see these are two new things. The first one is Parent App, and let's watch this video.
Things that kids' ministry leaders already know. One, parents want to disciple their kids. They just don't always know how. And two, what happens on Sunday is too good to stay on Sunday. That's why God's Kids comes with something special. Free access to the Right Now Kids Parent App for every family in your church. Each week, parents get a recap of exactly what their kids learned, plus simple, doable prompts that meet families wherever the week takes them. Conversations, memory verses, and prayer, whenever the moment is right. No more take-home sheets lost in the back seat. Just practical tools that help parents show up as the disciple makers they want to be. All week long. Because kids' ministry doesn't end when Sunday does. God's Kids. Biblically solid, built for the whole week.
Amen. What you do, if you're a parent of your of the kids that are in a nursery and elementary. You can tap on that and register. And what it will do, it'll give you 3 times a week about the lesson today. And you, it, one is a short video, and it has other things. It has a Bible verse. And it helps you disciple your children through the week about what they've already learned. And it reinforces it. So parents, that is free for you. Free for all of you. All right. All right, you ready for number two? The number two is the
in the beginning.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the beginning, God. If you can believe these four words, you can believe the rest of the Bible.
I have fallen in love with the work of Paul as I've studied the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe you will too.
This is where Jesus taught in Capernaum, and you have to understand this scene.
In the book of Romans, Paul lays out a logical case for why the gospel is the answer to humanity's problems.
Right Now Media. It's for groups. It's for personal devotion. It's for parents.
The bullseye of parenting is to raise children who become like Jesus.
It's for kids.
This is Phil. We're digging into the Bible, which, as we've mentioned, is more than just a book.
It's for tough times.
So when you recognize that you're trying to have a conversation with your spouse and they're not ready to talk, it's not helpful to keep pressing
right.
them.
It's for every phase of life.
The prodigal son story is my favorite story because God fixes a problem with a party.
And now, it's yours. We've purchased a Right Now Media subscription for everyone in our church. So check your inbox for the digital invitation and download the app for instant access to thousands of biblically based videos. Get equipped. Get inspired.
Amen. By now, most of you, we had about 243 emails. We sent that to them. They've already sent those emails out, so you should have it. If perchance you do not have that, go to the next one. This is a free gift. We've partnered with Right Now Media. This is a free gift to all of you. And they have over 25,000 videos. They're not movies. They're teachings. There's about over 2,000 for kids. 25 a video, and you can do it anytime, anywhere, on any device. And we're partnering with this to do that. Next, if you did not get the email, you can scan this with your phone right now, or you can text FVNC to 49775. And what that will do, you will just register, and you will have access to over 25,000 teaching videos. Are you excited about that? I'm telling you, it is so. I'm so excited. I really am excited that this will help us disciple you and become more like Jesus. And listen to this. If you share this with someone else, if you share a video or something with someone else that don't even go to this church, this is part of our outreach. You share it one time, and they will have access to the entire library. And we don't even know them. So it'll be an outreach for you to be able to say, let me send you. There may be a teaching about something. I mean, you got teachings on marriage, books of the Bible, all the books of the Bible, parenting, recovery, mental health, leadership, finances, faith, courage, Christian living, discipleship, overcoming trials, and much, much more. Individual study, personal growth, family study, faith building at home. Small groups can use it. It's all of them are like, oh, it's not just one big hour video. No, it's a teaching that's broken in sections of about 10 minutes. And then when you can do two and you don't have time to do the rest, do the others later. This is so powerful. Tony Evans is on it. There are just so many others that we know. It is so good. So you can tap it and get back to the other one. Then you can go back to this one. You can tap the thing on this. And it will bring you to a sign-up page. It's a Father's Vineyard page. It'll be a sign-up page. I believe everybody can grow from the things that are on here that you can listen. Your home groups can use it. It's just 10 minutes or whatever, and then you can start discussing it. Then you can start building upon it. It also has resources like PDFs and notes and things of that nature that's free. All of this is free. We're partnering. We have paid a subscription for the entire church to have it. I think it's so important that we do this. So those are the two new things. But go back to, there that is. And register, give them your information. And whenever you can do it anytime you want, when you want, when you have a few minutes and you just don't want to watch. Listen, instead of watching TV, watch one of these videos that's going to teach you about the depths of the Bible. I'm telling you, it's really important. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.